One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Women Arsecast on arseblog.com with me, your host, Tim Stillman. I am not going to blab too much at the top of this podcast because I am definitely not the person you want to listen to. On this particular episode, we were invited down to London Colney on Friday last week, and we were given access to a few players. So on this episode, you're going to hear me at Colney speaking to Jen Beattie, Lotta Wubben-Moy and Victoria Pullover. And clearly the focus is on Arsenal's Champions League semi-final coming up this weekend, the first leg against Wolfsburg. So that's the kind of focus of the podcast. And obviously, needless to say, there are still tickets available for the second leg at Emirates Stadium on Monday. That's Bank Holiday Monday, the 1st of May at 5:45 p.m. I think at the time of recording, we're at about 45,000 tickets sold, which is absolutely incredible. But hey, there's still time to make it a sellout, so let's make it a sellout. So you're going to listen to me talking to Jen, Lotta and Victoria in turn at London Colney. Just before I turn over to those interviews, though, I want to explain, a sound issue, a slight sound issue. Shouldn't spoil your enjoyment of this episode at all. However, what I did was I took my trusty dictaphone with me because we were recording. Some of you may have seen it before. Arsenal have kind of an indoor training centre at Colney. They do a lot of broadcasting here and do a lot of kind of the broadcast interviews you see with the men's and the women's team kind of happen in this indoor kind of place. So there's a little bit going on in the background because there are other broadcasters doing interviews and Arsenal doing some stuff for their socials, and that's all absolutely fine. But what I did was I brought my trusty dictaphone with me, which is a fantastic piece of kit. Faithfully laid it down when I spoke to Jen, Lotta and Victoria Pullover, recorded everything, or at least I thought I'd recorded everything, and then I came home to listen to my Parkinson-esque triumph of trio of interviews, and I uploaded the file, and all I got was 30 minutes of total silence. What I'd somehow managed to do was press, I don't know how or when I did this, because with this dictaphone, it's difficult to like accidentally flick a switch. Like the buttons are quite chunky, but I had the wrong input. So basically my dictaphone thought that I was going to plug an external mic into it. So it was waiting for an external mic to do the recording. And obviously that wasn't happening. So I just got loads of silence. So how have I reproduced the interviews for this podcast, I hear you cry? Well, there are a lot of drawbacks to being a hyper anxious individual like me. However, one of the few kind of upsides is that when you live in a mind where you expect everything to go wrong all the time, sometimes you prepare for things going wrong. Often you prepare for things going wrong, and often it's a complete waste of time and energy. On this occasion, it was not. I did a backup recording on my phone because I'm always expecting the worst to happen, and this was just one of those felicitous occasions where that proved not to be a waste of time. So the audio is from my phone, which means it's not quite as good. It's perfectly fine. It's absolutely fine. It's 7 out of 10. Had it come through my dictaphone, it would be 9 out of 10. But it's absolutely fine, and you probably won't notice. I'll notice, but you probably won't, to be honest with you. So all of the recordings are off my phone. The only thing to note before I turn this over to the interviews is I didn't quite start recording in the first interview when I asked Jen Beattie the first question. So I get her answer, but I didn't record my question to her, which was basically just to ask her to assess, because she played against Wolfsburg in the semi-final in 2013, 10 years ago. And funnily enough, we did the interview 10 years to the day that Arsenal played Wolfsburg at Meadow Park. And I just asked for her observations about how playing in the Champions League has changed over the last decade with the interest, the branding, and of course the opponents as well, because there is not a coincidence, but there is something quite nice, I guess, about playing Wolfsburg in a semi-final, our first semi-final in 10 years again. And I think that just really shows that these two clubs have been very, very consistent in their commitment to women's football, unlike other clubs. But anyway, so just to explain that to you around the audio, like I said, I don't think it will spoil your enjoyment at all of these interviews. And I'm really grateful to Jen, Lotta and Victoria for their time, and grateful to Arsenal as well for making this happen. So if you haven't already bought a ticket for Arsenal v Wolfsburg on Monday the 1st of May, Bank Holiday Monday, 5:45 p.m., do so. It's going to be a historic occasion, semi-final second leg, and fingers crossed, it might be a great European night at Emirates Stadium, and we haven't had many of those over the last decade. So now I'm going to turn it over to my interview at London Colney, interviews, starting with Miss Jennifer Patricia Beattie.
As players, you know, playing in the Champions League, of course it was still exciting and fun to be a part of European football and playing against the top teams and top players around Europe. But absolutely, I think the scheduling and the exposure that it's got now has really, really added that, I guess, the flair to it. And, you know, to be pushing 20,000 on Champions League nights, it just adds to it. It's like anything, a full stadium, like a full crowd, it's the atmosphere has been unbelievable. So I guess it has, trying to match the men's sort of speciality to it in that sense of it being, it always has been the biggest trophy you can win in European football, but now it's just added that whole expectation to it. It's incredible. But I think it's just followed the same trajectory as the rest of women's football has. It's grown, it's expanded, it's become more exciting to play in, it's got so much more competitive now. There's so many more teams competing at the top, so it's just incredible to be a part of.
I'm always wary about asking players about their memories. I asked Anita Asante something a few weeks ago where I was asking her about winning the league at Highbury in 2004, and she was like, I don't remember that at all. So I'm wary about
this. She won so much.
Yeah, indeed. But the last time Arsenal played Wolfsburg in a semi-final in 2013, you played in that tie. I was going to say, what are your memories of that tie? Do you have any memories of that tie?
No. But no, from that, I remember that time period, and definitely that few years of playing Champions League football, the German teams were always the giants. You know, they're the ones that dominated. I think it was always Duisburg, Wolfsburg, Bayern Munich. They were always the top teams, and they were always the toughest to play against, and really just matching them physically was always the hardest. I think German football has that, people talk about it that way, but it's super physical, and it was. Going into those Champions League games were always so difficult. And yeah, I do remember German teams in general being really hard to play against in those few years. And look, it's no change now. They're still unbelievable. It's a very, very tough league as well to go out and play. And yeah, it's no surprise that we're getting them again in the semis.
Yeah, I went to the first leg of that game. I think the second leg was on Eurosport or something. My memory from it was Nadine Kessler played in midfield for Wolfsburg, and it was the first time I'd seen Kim Little get a bit of a chasing in midfield, and I don't think I've seen it since either. But like you say, Wolfsburg, I mean, still there every single year. I think they won it that year. They're still in this stage every single year. What's your kind of impression of them as opponents, particularly as a defender and all of the attacking talent they have?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk about Germany too much as a country, but obviously I've watched them a lot over the Euros, and with Hoot and Pop and that attacking threat, and that's Wolfsburg in a nutshell. So it's easy to relate the German national team to Wolfsburg and the kind of the way that they play. But no, I mean, I've been playing against Pop since I was a kid. I think we're similar ages, and she came through the ranks sort of similar time frame I did in terms of youth football. So for me, she's always been an incredible talent to play up against, and a huge challenge, and Hoot's no different. I love watching her play. I think she's an incredibly talented player with the ball at her feet, and her attacking threat and her dribbling. It's a completely different dynamic. So as a defender, that's always really tricky, because you've got Pop, her physical prowess and her dominance in a box and then hoot completely different, wants to drag you out of spaces and be a dribbler and, you know, be tricky and catch you off guard in that sense. So it's, they're a team you just need to be on it for 90 minutes out of a game or over two legs.
Yeah, the three players that exist still play for the clubs from those 2013 semis are you, Kim and Alex Pop. Played in those, so yeah, emphasising your point there.
Emphasising our age.
Yeah, indeed, I'm older than all of you. So, I wanted to kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about your role this season, because you signed a new contract last summer, but you know, took a slightly different role as well inside the club in terms of having a look at like the commercial and marketing side.
Yeah.
How did that come about, and how's that been going for you?
I think, well, like, first and foremost, I always want to emphasise that I'm still a full-time player. I still care massively about training to the best of my ability and trying to get minutes where and when I can, and I'm still massively competitive in that sense. But I think coming with just getting older and finding interest elsewhere and being at a club like Arsenal that were just so supportive in that and offering the support and offering areas in I wanted to develop, because look, I would play football until I was 40, 50 if I could, but we all know that the career will end at some point, so it was more about me just trying to have a bit of a backup plan and develop in other areas. And when you're not playing 90 minutes every week, you kind of do have a bit more of a headspace to focus on other things. And so I raised the question with Claire Wheatley and Jonas to kind of see what the options were, and they were massively supportive. I studied business at uni, so I've always been really interested in the marketing and sales aspects of clubs, because it's a business at the end of the day, a football club. And so I just wanted to see a bit behind the scenes. And after the Euros, the whole strategy just completely kicked off within the club. So I feel like I started it at, you know, such an exciting time, and the staff were so engaging, and they've been amazing with me. So I'm in Highbury House, try to once a week, and work on the marketing side of stuff, and then being an academy ambassador, something I really value in, just having that link and someone for the kids to go to kind of have that advice, or just make the transition into first team football basically as easy as possible. So whether that's schoolwork and trying to balance that, or any sort of anxieties that they might have coming and playing at a first team environment, just trying to make that as smooth as possible. So yeah, there's a couple of roles there, and both I'd love to develop.
Yeah, and you talked about the marketing side there.
Yeah.
We're recording on Friday the 14th of April. It's actually 10 years today since we played Wolfsburg at home in the Champions League semi-final at Meadow Park. I know that because it came up on my Facebook memories this morning.
Nice.
And I reckon there are probably about 200, 300 people there.
Yeah.
Time of recording, about 41,000 tickets sold.
Incredible.
You know, I guess just the job the club have done in terms of selling this as an occasion and as a game, and maybe for you as players, having the second leg at home, which wasn't the case against Wolfsburg last year,
yeah,
in front of that type of crowd, and, you know, maybe does that, I don't want to go as far to say as give you an advantage, but is that factored into your thinking?
I mean, it's definitely a boost. It's definitely a confidence boost. I think the Bayern games are probably the perfect example of that. Like, going away and playing up away as the first legs is always difficult, but whatever the result, we obviously lost 1-0 to Bayern. We know that when we come back to the Emirates, it's a boost playing in front of a home crowd, incredible atmosphere. But look, I think the club has done an incredible job pushing it. I think it's safe to say, like, Emirates is our home, Meadow Park is our home, but the more games that we play at the Emirates, the bigger crowd we can have, and that's the obvious answer. And it's credit to the club and for being at the forefront and breaking records in terms of women's football. So they're at the forefront of that, breaking WSL records, breaking Champions League records. So to be in amongst it in the office and actually seeing the sort of energy and care that goes into it from staff has really been amazing, and like a privilege to be a part of.
And just as a final question, you also mentioned as part of your role that kind of academy ambassador, and I think a lot of people who are kind of in women's football recognise there has been a bit of a disconnect between like academy and first team,
yeah,
and it's quite a big jump. But one of the things about the Champions League is the squads are bigger, so quite often it's been like Madison Earl,
yeah,
Michelle Ajumang,
yeah,
quite often in the squad. How have you kind of used your experience to help them, I guess particularly for like the Champions League away trips?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, they're great kids. Their attitude's unbelievable. When they come into it, they know what's expected, and I think that's eased the transition a little bit. But look, 100%, I was 18, 19 when I first came down to Arsenal and to be a part of big games. I had the likes of, I was so lucky to have Rachel Yankee, Jane Ludlow, Kelly Smith, Julie Sleeting, even, you know, arm around my shoulder, making sure I was all right. And that was, it doesn't get much better. So I kind of took little snippets of what they helped me with and tried to help the kids, because I just understand it. I get what it feels like to, but look, you said it yourself, there's you can't really compare playing Wolfsburg in front of 200, 300 people, potentially 40,000 at the Emirates. So I know it's almost not what I experienced. I kind of need to just listen to how they feel and understand and try and help them whatever way, because I can't really, I know how it feels to play Champions League, but I can't really say how that feels at an 18-year-old. Mm. So it's much, much bigger now. So it's just listening, trying to understand how they feel, and just realise that it's a team sport. We're all in it together, and they're a huge part of it as well.
Jen Beattie, thanks very much, and good luck for both legs.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
So that was me chatting to Jen Beattie, and one of the things I was really interested to do in speaking to Jen was just to get her kind of historical perspective, I think, on playing in the Women's Champions League as a player who's been representing Arsenal in that competition for over a decade, and reflect on some of those changes, as well as some of the changes to her own role within the club. But now I'm going to speak to Lotta Wubben-Moy, and with Lotta the focus is very much on what Arsenal have learned playing in the Champions League compared to last season. And you may remember that Lotta scored the equaliser in the home leg against Wolfsburg last season in the Champions League quarter-final. On that occasion, the first leg was at home, the second leg was away. And so a lot of this interview is really about the journey Arsenal have been on, but also how home advantage in front of a big crowd might help Arsenal in the second leg this time around.
My first question, the thing I was kind of just talking to Jen Beattie, and you know, she's been playing Champions League football for over a decade and that kind of journey, but the thing I really wanted to reflect on with you is the journey that the team has been on under Jonas in the Champions League. And something I've spoken to him a lot about is how the team's developed in Europe. How much, you know, I'm looking at particularly match day one against Lyon, how much did that result just give you that kind of confidence to play in Europe?
Well, I mean, even just thinking back to that 5-1 win against Lyon feels like ages ago. And every game that we have entered into has been sort of, has felt sort of isolated, in the sense that we don't try to get ahead of ourselves. I think that's one of the keys in this whole journey. It's that you assess what's ahead of you, and you play to your strengths, you try to play to their weaknesses also, and you take that step and then go for the next one. I think looking at it at the start of the Champions League season in the group stages, or even the year before that in the knockouts, to then look ahead to a quarter-final or semi-final seems somewhat unrealistic. And I know the cliche is play what's in front of you, like take it one game at a time, but that truly is the case. And I think that's allowed us to go in and play to our capabilities, and play to even beyond our capabilities at times, because we've not got ahead of ourselves. And I think in the Champions League, you need to stay in the game, and you need to be able to weather the storms that come, because yeah, we're playing against top opposition, but then while we have respect for the other team, we also play with confidence and play with freedom. I think you've seen that in majority of the games we've played so far, that we've just grown and taken it one game at a time.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that's kind of really dawned on me, is like how Arsenal have handled different phases of the game. So Juventus at home in the group stage, you know, it's 1-0, 10 minutes to go, shut the game down. Yeah. Against Bayern, go out really, really hard and fast, go 2-0 up, not shut the game down, but then control the game, and just controlling those different phases and the different tempos of the games. And I wondered what you guys had learned maybe from last year's Champions League, where, you know, some of the group stage games were pretty tough, like Barcelona, even the Hoffenheim games as well. You know, do you talk about that consciously, about some of the lessons you learned from last year?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there are lessons that you always take from every game, and looking at the league compared to the Champions League, obviously it's so different. And yeah, you end up playing games where the competition is so high that you can sometimes lose yourself within that. And if you're looking at the direct maybe lessons that we've learned, it is to stay in the game and remain confident and remain sort of even keeled within that, not going too high or going too low. I think we hit a few lows last season when we were in the Champions League and when we were on that journey, and I think that rocked us too much. If you look at the run into these past two, or the two legs of the quarter final, there could have been moments where we would have hit lows or would have hit really highs, but you saw that we were even keeled and that we went into it with a steady head, and like you say, we controlled the game, and that was what was asked of us. And yeah, didn't get too carried away with it. Obviously, when the final whistle went, we were all ecstatic, and that's when you can sort of enjoy the moment. But yeah, looking at the lessons from last year, it's not getting too ahead of ourselves or too, beat down about it.
And one of the things as well about your specific role in the Champions League this year, you know, you've come off the bench early in like hot games away at Ajax and at home to Bayern as well, at a point where I think everyone saw Kim go down, and you know, there could have been within the team and within the crowd a kind of, oh God, Kim Little's gone down.
Yeah.
But you know, you came into both of those environments from the bench. And I remember talking to Jonas actually, and he talked about, particularly after Ajax, that's about how you prepare, in particular in training. How did it kind of feel for you coming into those, like I said, they were quite hot games at the time?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think, first off, for me personally as a player, I'm extremely professional and I hold myself to an extremely high standard, not just in games but also in training. So that sort of preparedness, that aspect, I will always be prepared, regardless of whether I'm starting or on the bench. And I think when you look at my journey so far in the Champions League, after the Ajax game, I pretty much started almost every Champions League game, and I've grown within that, and I feel comfortable within that, and I feel like I can contribute to the team. But yeah, coming into games like that, of course there are nerves, there are moments of, oh gosh, like, Kimmy, I hope you're okay, like, this is a big loss for us. But then there's also an aspect to me that's like, all right, let's go, this is for the taking. And I think you saw that in the Bayern game, and I feel good, I feel confident, and I feel strong at the moment, and those moments only fuel that fire.
And just a final question about Wolfsburg, who obviously we played last season. You scored in that first leg, and I think you could see, certainly in the first leg, that, you know, Wolfsburg kind of had the first half, but Arsenal, I think, kind of harnessed the energy of being at home a little bit in that second half, and you score that goal, and maybe in the second leg Wolfsburg fed off their own crowd. How significant do you think it could be that this time it's flipped, that Arsenal are at home second and are going to be playing in front of a big crowd?
I mean, first off, I think it's important to know how many people are going to be at that game, the second leg at the Emirates, and I want to shout out the Arsenal staff who, from the minute that final whistle went, there were tickets on sale. That's unbelievable. I don't think you see that in any other women's team. And I think if you look at us then looking to try play every game at the Emirates for the future, that's what we need and that's what makes it sustainable. So I think first off that's massive, and without that we wouldn't have as many people in those seats for the 1st of May. But I think when you look at the formula for going away and then home, we are in it. And yeah, the fact that we had that for Bayern and the fact that I think that helped us is massive, and knowing that we have that on our side, knowing that we will have Gooners in the stadium cheering for us, willing us on. I think I just said, like, in another interview, it would be the 12th, 13th, 14th woman, man that's in that stadium for us. That's going to be massive, and I think that will really help us against Wolfsburg.
Lotta, thank you very much. And another 87th minute goal against Wolfsburg in the second leg to win the title would do very nicely.
Yes, please.
Thanks.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks very much to Stoke Newington's finest, Lotta Wubben-Moy there. Now I'm going to speak to Victoria Polova, who joined the club from Ajax in January. And with Victoria, there's going to be chat about the Wolfsburg game as well, but a little bit more about her signing for Arsenal from Ajax and continuing that fine tradition of Dutch players at Arsenal on both the men's and the women's side. So this is a little bit more of a general interview about Victoria settling into life in London and at Arsenal. And Victoria did the most stereotypical Dutch thing ever of doing this interview in perfect English, and then as soon as the mic was turned off, she apologised for her poor English, which is something I've experienced with nearly every Dutch player I've ever interviewed, I think. So this is me speaking to Victoria Polova.
Victoria, I was at both legs of the Ajax-Arsenal game in the qualifier back in September. When you played in that game against Arsenal, did you imagine that you'd be playing for Arsenal in the semi-final later that season?
No, I dreamed of it, but I dreamed to go to Arsenal in the summer. But then I didn't go, or it was not possible. And after the games against Arsenal, and when we lost, I was like, oh, I want to play Champions League now. So, yeah, maybe it had to go like this.
And what are your memories of that tie? I spoke to Jonas about you a couple of weeks ago, in particular after the Tottenham game, and how you really seemed to thrive on the physical side of that game. And one of the things he said to me was that when we played against Ajax, when he saw you in person, he was really impressed by the physical side of your game. So, and obviously Ajax were very physical in that tie. I don't know whether you had to like speak to some of the players that maybe about the temperature of that game when you arrived here, but what are your kind of overall memories of that tie, which was a really competitive tie that Ajax could easily have won?
I was so proud of my team back then at Ajax, because like Arsenal is such a great team and we didn't expect to have a chance. And then when we played the first game, we were actually doing so good. So I just have such a good memories, because you go as an underdog and then if you do so good, it's always nice. Just good memories there.
And you were quite open about wanting to join Arsenal even before the signing happened. I mean, what was it, or is it, about Arsenal in particular that really, really attracted you, and how did the signing come about? Because I know, like you said, there were links last summer, and how did it all kind of come about, and what was it that really made you want to come to Arsenal in particular?
So I really wanted to play at the English competition because I think it's one of the best. And then if I look at English teams, I just like Arsenal, how they play the style of football. I like them the most. I think it suits me as well as a player, and I've always watched Arsenal and I loved Arsenal, and I know my older teammates from the Dutch team who played at Arsenal always had a good time. So
yeah, that was a reason for me to come to Arsenal.
And in terms of the physical side, because we've had plenty of Dutch players at Arsenal, but I think almost none of them, maybe except from Fasari, came from the Netherlands.
Victoria, how has it been since you signed for Arsenal? Who's your favourite player? Who's your favourite teammate?
We've had someone crash the podcast and try and host it there. I'll let you guess by the accent who that was. But in terms of like the kind of physical side, because all of the other Dutch players we'd signed, like Viv came from Germany, Gilles Roord came from Bayern, Dan came from Sweden. So a lot of them had made that step to maybe like a bigger, more physical league. So how have you found it coming straight from Netherlands to the WSL?
Yeah, I think it was hard. Like, I think the some particular games against Chelsea, City, Bayern, you really can feel that they are so physical. And like the other games, it's like Reading or Tottenham is also physical, but less physical than the top games. So like particularly in the top games, it was a bit. I had to adapt myself a bit and to learn a lot. But I think. If I play more minutes, I will just get used to it more. Also, like for me and DVD, we are a bit like little girls. Like so that I think it is hard for us to get to the physical thing. And for Viv and Jill, they are stronger there. So maybe it was easier for them, but still they went to Germany and they had to run a lot. But yeah, it is difficult still to adapt now from the Dutch league to here, and particularly the Champions League games or Chelsea or City. Yeah.
And on your recent international break, obviously you play with a couple of Wolfsburg players, both former Arsenal players, in Gilles Roord and Dominic Janssen. Did you speak to them about this tie a bit, and what kind of things did you say?
Yeah, they are a bit joking about it. And they're telling me like, see you next week, we're the joke. But no, we're not really saying something because I think we are like, how do you say, competitive?
Yes, yeah, 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 yeah.
So it was just respectful talking.
And before you signed for Arsenal, did you speak to Dom or Gilles or DVD? Who did you speak with when Arsenal were interested in you?
Yeah, DVD a lot. Like at the camp, I told her, yes, like one of the first persons, also Sarri from Feyenoord, and they just said immediately, like, no doubt, just do it. And DVD really pushed me to go. So I think I talked a lot with DVD also.
Next time I speak to her, I'll thank her for that. Jonas has said to me, and I think most of us who've seen you in the national team see that, you know, you play a number of different positions and you've been playing a lot on the right for Arsenal recently. Do you see yourself as that versatile player, or kind of looking forward, is there a position that you want to try and nail down?
Yeah, I really love the midfield. I've always been a midfielder, so that's also like I go to a new team and it's also a new position for me. I've played there 2 times in the Dutch squad before here, so it's still new.
You played wing back, didn't you?
Yeah. There was a lot of running. No, that was different. I'm used to being on the midfield and to turn, so I feel a bit I feel more comfortable each game if I play at a winger, but it's still, I'm not used to it.
Yeah, and when you play on the wing, I mean, you still...
I want to go inside.
Yeah, I see, like, the average position chart, and you're quite often very inside. Is that something that you and Jonas talk about?
Yeah, and, like, we have wing-backs who can go, like, make the overlap, so that's in Arsenal, you can just do that, so that's good.
And just a final question. I mean, the second leg against Wolfsburg, at the time of recording, it's 41,000 tickets sold. You know, I know you've played in front of crowds like that before, and particularly with the national team, but how much of an advantage do you think it could be for Arsenal to play in front of, you know, maybe nearing a sellout for the second leg?
Yeah, like if you saw the second game against Bayern, you could see, you could tell the difference. We had so much more energy, also because of the fans, so I think it will make a difference, for sure.
excellent stuff. Well, Victoria, on behalf of all Arsenal fans, wish you the best of luck for the time. Really looking forward to both legs.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Was it okay, my English?
Yes.
And that's all we have time for this episode. Big thanks again to Jen Beattie, Lotta Wubben-Moy and Victoria Polova for their time, and to Arsenal for making this happen as well. I think one of the reasons that it was a media broadcast day that they were doing at London Colney. They are not obliged to invite Arseblog News to that. They're obliged to invite, I believe, certainly DAZN, who showed the Women's Champions League, and Sky Sports and some of those big hitters. But I think one of the reasons they invited us is because they really want to sell this second leg out against Wolfsburg on Monday the 1st of May. And I think Arsenal know that we have a very good and direct line into fans of both the men's and the women's teams. And you know, in that kind of pursuit of selling this game out, I think Arsenal kind of thought that Arseblog was a good avenue for doing that. So what can I say? Prove them right, and we'll get more podcasts like this with a star-studded cast like that. So if you haven't already bought your tickets, please do. The first leg against Wolfsburg takes place on Sunday at 2:30 p.m. English time, away at Wolfsburg for the first leg, and then we bring them back to the Emirates 8 days later. So huge occasions both, and Arsenal shooting for their first Champions League final since 2007. So fingers crossed, good luck to the team and the manager and the whole club, and let's really bring the noise, particularly on Monday, May the 1st. And thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed that. If you're not a regular listener of this podcast and you came along for the star names, I don't blame you, but do consider us giving us a listen on a more regular basis, because I think we have great guests and with great opinions and insights on all things Arsenal women, and we've been doing this longer than anyone else, quite frankly. So there. And on that absolutely pointless boast, thanks very much for listening, and we will speak to you very, very soon on another episode of the Arsenal Women Arsecast, probably celebrating getting to the Champions League final.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.